Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Thanks for listening to The Fan. We all want our teams to make the best decisions for their future. Don't forget to do the same for yourself. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can help. They're going to guide you or your family. Draft a will. Set up a revocable trust. Create a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. Get a discount. Mention us, kmlawyers.com. We'll be joined by Frank Schwab, who covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports, in just a moment. He thought a lot of Washington's draft class, had them ranked right near the top of his rankings, as a matter of fact. And we'll get to him on that in a second. It is nice, I will say, Danny, that everybody's saying very pleasant things about the Commanders draft.
I'd rather that than not. Rather that than be the Falcons, where everybody's explaining different ways of how stupid you are for doing something that didn't make any sense. Again, doing one move is good. Doing another move is good. Doing the two that they did together is nonsense, especially in a division that can be had. So I'd rather be two than 32.
NBC Sports posted this today. I guess Florio and Chris Sims on their show were debating this, but they were ranking some of the top rivalries in the NFL. And they came to the decision that the Chiefs against the Bills are the number one rivals in the National Football League right now, which I found interesting. I don't necessarily think of those two going into the season. Florio also had Packers-Lions. Chris Sims thought the Chiefs and the Bengals were a really good rivalry, Eagles-49ers. Right now, this moment, best rivalry in the NFL for you is who?
Ravens-Steelers. To me, the cross-division or whatever type stuff, it still matters. Your division, your teams that play each other, that mirror each other, that have, you know, whether it's respect, but and also venom between the two places. That to me is what it's supposed to be. That used to be Washington, Dallas, but I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh took it over. Teams that are both consistently good, hard fought games.
I like that. I was thinking maybe Bengals Ravens at this point, honestly, has gotten really good really fast, because those are the two teams that have been battling for supremacy at the top of the North. The Steelers have been somewhat irrelevant here over the last few years. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. And Frank Schwab is with us of Yahoo Sports. Frank, thank you for a couple of minutes. I want to start with your assessment of the Commanders draft. I was just telling Danny, you were very, very high on what Washington did and favorable to them in some of your post-draft remarks. What'd you like so much about the 9-player class they put together?
Yeah, I mean, when you start off with 6 top 100 picks, it's going to do well. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we don't know how these guys are going to turn out, but unless you really just go completely against the grain, you're drafting 6 guys in the top 100, you're going to get good grades. I guess that's just kind of how it goes. But I think that the Daniels pick was very, very good. I like him a lot. I like his upside. I think there was a downside there that, you know, but what quarterback anymore doesn't have a downside when you draft a number 2? Shoot for a superstar. I thought the Commanders did really well just to stay there, get the right guy. I thought that was a great pick. And then Newton in the second round really impressed me. I was, he's a first-round talent in my mind. If he'd have gone in the first, wouldn't have surprised me at all. I thought that was a very, very good pick for them. And then, other guys, the cornerback from Michigan, Sanat, the tight end. It just seemed like they really started to transform their entire team, really. I saw some stat where they have the highest turnover of any team this offseason. And let's be honest, they probably needed it. They probably needed to just say, you know what, we're going into this new era. Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, let's just get a new identity for this entire team because what we're doing wasn't good enough. And I thought they just did well at every step of the way in the draft process. And even in free agency, they really added a lot of new blood to kind of just start fresh, start over, give fans something new to really get excited about.
Frank, go into Jaden Daniels. Where was he for you? You mentioned some of those wrinkles. We're all kind of aware. Every prospect's been picked apart here since no football's been played for months and months. But what did you think of him? What do you think of the high, you mentioned the high ceiling, but just break it down for us.
I mean, just the playmaking ability is just ridiculous, right? Like, when you can do that in the SEC with the amount of explosive plays he had, not just running the ball, but throwing it as well, both ways. I mean, that impresses me. I mean, you're not doing this. Not Zach Wilson doing this against, whoever, Coastal Carolina or whoever BYU played that year. You are doing it against basically the JV of the NFL, which is the SEC, which produces so much talent. And just the numbers he put up were eye-popping. Hey, he was fantastic. I mean, he's a really, really good passer. The athleticism's obvious. And, I mean, there's some things to worry about. He's not the biggest guy in the world. And is that style going to play that long? But Lamar Jackson's not the biggest guy in the world either. And he's won two MVPs and is probably on his way to the Hall of Fame someday. So I mean, when you draft a guy number two, that's the thing we do, right? We know that six quarterbacks are drafted in the top 12. We know sitting here that not all six of those are going to hit. And if it's three out of six that hit and become stars, that's a pretty good draft. That's a heck of a job by the NFL to get three out of six. But we don't know as which guys are going to bust and which aren't. As we sit here, every guy looks pretty good, and there's no reason for me to sit here and tell you Jaden Daniels is going to fail. I mean, yes, his running style, 200 and however, 205, I think he is. Yes, he's got to fix that because he took some big hits his last year in college. But all of the skills he has, there's a reason this guy was drafted number two for good reason. He was my second best quarterback on the board. I think most people, unless you really, really like Drake May, which some people do, Nate Tice, who works with me, he loved Drake May. He had him ahead of Caleb, actually. So, you can make the argument, but I mean, Jaden Daniels is just a heck of a prospect, and everybody in Washington should be really, really excited that maybe this guy can get you finally off that quarterback carousel.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo. Yeah, we're hoping this will be the end of the road here of 8 straight seasons in week one, starting a different quarterback to begin a season.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, dude, it's our thing.
Look, I'm here, I'm based in Colorado, and I'm sure it's the same thing there in D.C., where it's just you just get beat down by the bad quarterback play year after year, and you get your hopes up with certain guys, whether it's you draft this guy, Russell Wilson out here, or whoever out there, Sam Howell out there, when he finished the 2022 season strong. And then you just watch them, and your team has no shot to compete. You just know that when you're this bad at quarterback for this many years, it's not just a one-off. Like, this is just – it just beats you down as a fan base. And for Washington fans to have that hope that this can be the guy after, like you said, 8 straight years of a different quarterback is just remarkable and depressing in many ways. And it just this guy just brings a new hope. And who knows if he's going to hit or not? We don't know. There's been number one picks that we really, really liked that didn't hit. And there's no guarantee that the number two overall pick's going to hit. It could be Mitch Trubisky, for all we know. But as we sit here right now, Washington fans should be really, really fired up about what the future should hold.
Assuming, Frank, that Daniels is pretty good initially and has that early success that we saw with Griffin, and you see some dual-threat young guys have, right, as they kind of are ahead of – the league in some ways. We were making the case yesterday, it shouldn't be that crazy for a team with 60% turnover. New coach, new better coaching staff, new front office, a new quarterback. Everyone says, well, they can't necessarily compete this year. They were a 4-win team last year. Most of those guys are gone. Why couldn't they be a fly in the ointment in the NFC East this season?
Oh, absolutely. That's every team. Okay, there's a few teams we can just cross off the list right now that we know. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers aren't going to make any noise in the NFL, right? But the beauty of the NFL is you can go from four wins to playoff contention right away. I mean, I don't know that Washington's necessarily going to get there and make the playoffs, but we see it every year. Every year, I think last year was an outlier, actually, in that, you know, some team who finishes in the last place wins the division. It just happens year after year, and we all say, oh, there's no way the Commanders can do this. And then they do. And it's just one of those things where if you have the right mix of new guys, the Texans, great example, of a team that had nothing at all going for them. I thought the Houston Texans were running for the worst team in football last year when I started. You know, I do previews every summer and count teams down, and I think I had the Texans number 31 or something really, really low, because how could you have them much higher? And then they hit the home run on their number two overall pick of the draft, hit a home run on their first-year head coach, and they end up making the playoffs, and the future's so bright that, you know, they're like the sixth in the Super Bowl odds right now. Why can't the same thing happen to the Commanders? I'm not sitting here predicting it, but we see it happen in the NFL all the time. I wouldn't have said it would happen to the Houston Texans last year. Look what happened. So, to your point, yes, there's no reason the Commanders can't be a competitive team this year in the playoff mix. You're sitting there, you know, we're talking again in 9-10 months saying, wow, Jaden Daniels is a superstar and Dan Quinn was the right hire on his second go around. All these free agents hit, and all of a sudden the Commanders and Cowboys are co-favorites in the NFC East. This stuff happens every single year. And when you have the type of offseason the Commanders had with brand new head coach, good free agency class, pretty good draft class, obviously, brand new quarterback you can have hope in, why not the Commanders? Why can't they take that kind of jump?
Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab with us here on G&D. So devil's advocate here for a second, Frank, in terms of their draft class. I think sometimes this happens where, and by the way, I like these individual picks. So again, this is devil's advocate. When a guy goes around or like 25, 30 picks before we think, I think a lot of times we go, oh, that GM is brilliant. But if like one of the GMs we don't like if Tom Telesco made the pick of Ben Sinnott around early, or Luke McCaffrey, you know, around and a half before he's supposed to go, or Brandon Coleman, the offensive lineman from TCU, earlier than expected, he'd get beaten up as an idiot. But Adam Peters is a genius. Just your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been kind of making fun of it for the past few months that Howie Roseman goes to the drive-thru at Starbucks, and when nobody's in front of him in line, every NFL writer says, oh my God, the NFL did it again. They let him go through the Starbucks drive-thru with no line. He's a genius. He figured out the system. Like the overpraising of Howie Roseman is, who's great, by the way, but the overpraising is, it's almost like I wasn't invited to the meeting of all NFL writers where we decided that Howie Roseman, every single move he's made, we all have to one-up each other and how we praise him. Like he's turned wine into water by drafting Nolan Smith 30th overall last year.
But it's also hilarious because it seems like he drafts based on like whatever popular listing of players you're looking at. Like there's no team that seems to agree more with what Dane Brugler and Daniel Jeremiah think. And so it's just, he just happens to be reading their cliff notes or whatever, you know, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I've heard that. I saw the clip, Nick Wright, and it is funny. I don't necessarily believe that. I think Howie's great. Like, he really is. But it's just you're right in that the perception of, oh, my God, if this GM made the same move, Adam Peters and whatever other GM made the exact same move, Dave Gettleman a few years ago, who was just a punching bag for every single move he made. Yes, the perception is different, and the grades factor into that. And I think that – so we all have to take that into consideration for sure. But, you know, I mean, it's we'll see. You know, Adam Peters is new, and we like him, and he's fresh. He's got fresh ideas, and everybody's kind of on board now. But – oh my goodness, let this draft class struggle a little bit, and all of a sudden we won't be praising Adam Peters in 2 years. He's going to be that guy who we're saying, oh my God, he reached because he has no idea what he's doing, just like that 2024 draft class. So it is funny how that goes sometimes.
Frank Schwab is with us of Yahoo. Real quick, outside of D.C., I wanted to bounce around to a couple other things. You wrote about Joe Burrow. This is a serious injury he's coming back from, and I didn't know this until today. But he did a lot of research, and he couldn't find any other quarterback who had this injury that he's coming back from. So he had to talk to a bunch of guys with other positions. And when you're talking about the wrist that you throw with, that's scary to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I perked up when I heard that, too, that, you know, he didn't know if any other quarterback has had this injury. But he says he feels good. Like he said, you know, there's been some pain, but I get it. I've been through an ACL. you rehab a major injury, you're going to have painful days. So I take him at his word that he's in a good place. He feels good. He bulked up a little bit. I mean, he's already throwing. The Cincinnati Bengals are not going to have that guy throwing the ball at OTAs unless they're really, really confident that he can do it. There's nothing you mess around with your franchise quarterback. So I assume Joe Burrow is going to be fine, and we're going to look on opening day, and I believe they're going to be on opening night. I think they're going to play the Chiefs on September 6th or whenever the opening night is. And I think we're going to look up, and Burrow's going to look fine, but I think we do have to at least wonder, like, is you lose, I mean, it's the NFL. The NFL's a tough, tough business. If you're throwing a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, you come back next year, throw a 94, that's the difference between you being a great quarterback and, like, a middle-of-the-road guy. And who knows if he's lost anything? I don't think so. I think he's going to be fine. I think the Bengals are going to be fine. But, yeah, there is some concern. As he said himself, this is not a minor injury I have. This is a pretty major one. So we'll all be keeping an eye on him.
Frank, you've been covering this league for a while, and I want your opinion on something. I don't understand what the league is doing or not doing in this case with the schedule release. This, like, vagary that, like, at some point you'll see it, but no notification, nothing formal. It just feels weird to me. Usually it's a date, flag in the ground, and relentless promotion and digestion and, myriad topics sort of stemming out of that. This, we might release it, we might not. Just stay tuned is a weird way to play it for me. Help me understand what I'm missing.
Yeah, absolutely. As some years they do this, I think it's just, and Mike Florio over at PFT, speculated maybe it's the Christmas games that are throwing everything off, but I think we kind of underestimate sometimes. We want the schedule, we're impatient to see it. I am too. We got a bunch of stories lined up to write, and we forget that it's a difficult thing to put all this together. Where you don't, some team, all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Ravens and Orioles are playing on the same day in late September. We can't have that. We got to switch that around. And the Commanders were set for 3 straight road games, and we can't have that. There's all these rules and things and requests the NFL puts in that I think do take it until the last minute to get them absolutely perfect, where, they're simulating a schedule thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and to get it perfect, that they don't need to rush this. They don't have to. And then the cynical side is maybe they're looking at the NBA playoff schedule and figuring out what day they can overtake on the sports calendar, because they do that too. Let's not lie about that. But I seriously, when it happens like this and the schedule release is delayed a little bit, I do buy that it's a legitimate reason, because there's not really any rush other than us being impatient, and they just don't want to get this thing wrong.
Awesome information and insight as always, Frank. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, guys, appreciate it.
Appreciate you hopping aboard. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. You just heard him talking about the schedule release. We don't know the dates of the Commanders games yet, but we do know the opponents. Which matchups are most interesting on paper with free agency in the draft in the rear view? We'll tackle that next on The Fan. We got tickets to see AEW coming up at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We'll give those away in 30 minutes, so make sure you're listening at that time. Welcome back, G&D on the Fan. There was a vague tweet by Jim Irsay, who kind of does whatever he wants. Whatever the rules are that other owners operate by, he doesn't necessarily follow them.
He's got his own drum.
So he basically said, I think the schedule release is coming soon. The last 2 years, the release has been on the second Thursday of May, which is 2 days from now. Mike Florio of PFT has reported it's not going to be this week based on his sources, but everyone's kind of waiting to find out when we'll get the schedule. But I figured we could just look at the opponents. Here's what I want to know, Danny. Most interesting matchups for the Commanders on paper. Just run through these really quick, and then we can kind of rank them a bit. So you've got the 3 teams in the division, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, standard fare, 1 home game, 1 away game. Home games this season for Washington. They will be hosting the Falcons. Major intrigue there, I'd say, still, because
sure, of course,
Kirk Cousins coming back, although there's so many years removed from Cousins having been here. It's almost more interesting just because it's him on a new team with a new offense, maybe even, than it's a reunion for him. But that's still a thing. It's only the second time he'll be playing at FedEx since leaving.
Yeah, and a team that, you know, you'd like to be able to beat or be on par with. I mean, they're 7-9 last year, kind of middling. You know what you were. This would be a nice measuring stick game.
Carolina Panthers also in the NFC South. I'm fascinated by that game for two reasons. One, I think it's a game they absolutely shouldn't have to win. Like, if they're going to be any good this year, when you play the doormats and the Panthers, the worst team in football this past year, maybe they'll be better. They had an okay offseason, I guess. I can't imagine Bryce Young will be as bad this season as he was last year. There's going to be some growth. But that's just a team, if you're not terrible, that you should beat. So that's number one. Number two, I am now officially really nervous about Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah.
He was horrendous last season. And I'm not trying to put it all on him, but it really doesn't matter how we got here. Like, what was his fault versus did they have enough receiving talent versus the offensive line? He's a very small guy. The Panthers went 2-14 in the games he played in last year. He had 11 touchdowns and 10 picks and under 3,000 yards in 16 games. It was a putrid rookie season, one of the worst statistical rookie seasons we've ever seen. I was a fan of his. I didn't love him because of the size, but I thought he'd be pretty good. He's accurate. He did everything you ask. In Alabama, one of the big, you know, Jaden Daniels can't miss arguments is, he did it in the SEC, and then people just scream at you, and you're supposed to go, oh, okay, that's the same as the NFC East, of course. He can't possibly struggle. But Bryce Young kind of did the same thing, right? God, was he bad last year.
It was terrible. And, you know, listen, I don't know if he can play or not. I mean, I was wrong. I said, yeah, you take him 1-1, you think about it. I don't know how much is his fault. Carolina was a disaster last year from Jump Street. Everything from their owner on down. Nothing was professional. They're a joke. I know what that looks like. That was the worst nest for anybody to go to. But at the same time, he also looked horrendous. Like, he looked like a little kid that wandered onto the field and couldn't see over the offensive line at times and wasn't hitting throws. His arm looked weak. Just didn't look like the same player that was tearing up the SEC the previous fall.
Yeah, two things can be true. One, nobody would have thrived in that situation. Two, he didn't play well and control some of the things that he needs to, right?
Yep.
How about the Cleveland Browns coming to FedEx Field, or I guess it's not called that anymore, the Commanders Stadium, I'm sure, next year. Mm. Deshaun Watson, man, he got the biggest fully guaranteed contract in the history of the sport. They have made their bed with him. They made the playoffs last year only because Joe Flacco, which is a weird thing to say, saved their bacon. But Deshaun Watson has been between mediocre and below average now in two seasons in Cleveland. And someone might go, well, he started 6 games last year. They were 5-1. Dive into those games. 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completed barely over 60%. 2 years ago, Jacoby Brissett was better than him. Last year, Joe Flacco was better than him. Their general manager came out this week and said, we actually think he's closing in on a breakout. We think this is going to be a huge year. Well, you better say that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get more out of him, if he doesn't become what you thought he was going to be, Andrew Berry, GM of the Browns, it looks like you made the worst trade in the history of the league and gave him the worst contract in the history of the league to acquire Deshaun Watson.
They were 9-2. The Browns were last year in games started by Joe Flacco and Deshaun Watson. And it's not because of their quarterback play. It's because that was an excellent football team everywhere else but the quarterback spot. When they had even below average quarterback play, which is pretty much what they had in terms of Watson and Flacco.
Flacco was not terrible, though. He had 13 touchdowns and 1,600 yards in 6 or so games, whatever it was, I think, right?
13 touchdowns, 8 picks, a bunch of YOLO balls, 50-50s that Cooper brought down. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, compared to Watson, I actually thought Flacco was a huge plus. They had a vertical passing game. They made explosive plays. Like, if you compare all of Watson's numbers, he was bad. Flacco was probably league average, which was stunning to me because he'd been out of football, yeah. And it had been years since he was any good.
Right, he was out of the league average, I guess.
He was very solid.
But just tells you that that is a really good football team outside of their quarterback spot. So if they get anything decent from Deshaun Watson, nobody's talking about them, by the way, as one of the powers in the league. Again, I point to this. They were 9-2 in games not started by P.J. Walker or Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Like, that is a nasty football team.
Defense is exceptional.
Yep.
arguable DPOY every single year that Myles Garrett plays, leading the way. And even though they lost Nick Chubb, good running game, good weapons, they added to that again. Really good pass catchers. In fact, if you look at, you know, the Commanders' secondary, we talk a lot about where their corner room is right now compared to where it needs to be. Like, that's one of those games where Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore are coming to town. They drafted Jamari Thrash in the fifth round. That's a pretty darn good receiving core for Cleveland. There's a few really good groups on the schedule. They're one of them.
Yeah, and Njoku had his breakout year last year with over 80 catches. I mean, they are, again, that is a really good team.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, representing the same AFC North, are coming to FedEx Field this coming season. So the Steelers, for what will be presumably a takeover with the terrible towels. We've seen a few of those
Indeed.
In Landover, Maryland. That's the Russell Wilson experience, depending on when that is. If it's very early in the year, it'll certainly be Wilson. If it's toward the end of the year, it's possible you get Justin Fields leading Pittsburgh, which would be intriguing. I think the Steelers are probably going to be about what they've been this year. They kicked the can down the road for me. One of the reasons I really didn't like the idea of bringing in Russell Wilson, even at no money, was they're going to make it harder to find their next quarterback. They're not going to be bad, which is probably what they need to be at 5-12 or, you know, 4-13, bottom out, go get your QB a la Washington with Jaden Daniels.
And they don't do that there in Pittsburgh.
No, they win every year. They have since Mike Tomlin got there. It's a blessing and a curse. Like, they're too good of an organization and too close with too many good players and too many good coaches to be bad. But because of that, you're never going to find the quarterback. And post Roethlisberger, they've just been spinning their tires here. I like the draft that they had. They drafted a new starting center, new starting left tackle, and they went out and they got a slot receiver in Roman Wilson from Michigan, who the Commanders liked a whole lot, according to reports. So there's a lot of additions that they've made now to go with George Pickens. Remember, they did lose Deontay Johnson, who they traded, but they brought in Van Jefferson, the former Falcon. I just don't trust Russell Wilson. I think he is at the end of his rope as a starter. I don't trust Justin Fields any more than that. And for those reasons, I'm not sure they're going to be any good.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was, again, one of the worst offenses I've ever seen at times last year. And they were still a playoff team, still over 500, because, A, the defense is really good, and Mike Tomlin was excellent at coaching. You could see what the priority was. Round one, left tackle. Round two, center. Round three, slot receiver. Right? Let's make the offense
decent. Round four, left guard.
Yeah, like enter Russell Wilson into a pretty good situation, I would say. It's not bad by any stretch, but if he's okay, if he's this is like 2013 or 14 Russell Wilson, hand it off a few times, scramble a little bit, maybe throw one moon ball deep to George Pickens, we'll get 20 points, we'll have a chance to win. But again, that's a really well-coached, good organization.
But you can see yesterday, you were talking about how the schedule might be really difficult, and my point was, I'm not afraid of the quarterback schedule, really. You know, we're going through the out-of-division home games now, of which there are six, and Cousins is decidedly the best of the quarterbacks that you've got to deal with at this point if you look at it, right? It's Bryce Young, the ghost of Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson now on his third team in 4 years or whatever it is. Will Levis, as we get to the Titans. The Titans, who they added another receiver today. Tyler Boyd to Tennessee, I saw, signing a contract. They keep loading up. DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd. I mean, Treylon Burks, I guess they've just decided the former first-round pick can't do this and can't play. They drafted J.C. Latham, the left tackle from Alabama, to start up front to help with Will Levis. They got the best defensive tackle maybe in the country and T'Vondre Sweat in the second round to play nose. But the Titans are a beatable team. First-year head coach and Brian Callahan kind of rebooting. And I don't know if they're going to use the word rebuild or if they say recalibrate there. But they have to do this thing all over again.
So they just were so beat up over the last couple of years, whether it was injury, whether it was, you know, Derrick Henry in a cloud of dust. They're a new-look squad now. It's no longer just hand it off to the big guy and sort of figure it out. They're trying to be more modern and kind of like the rest of the NFL is, maybe in Callahan's image. I don't trust them to be any good just yet, to be honest with you. I think Mike Vrabel covered a lot of warts there. And again, amazing to me he couldn't get a job. But I think that's sort of where we are. So Tennessee's one of those games you go, you've already touched on it. That's not a quarterback that scares you. I don't know that they're ready for primetime yet.
Chicago Bears, last home game.
This is the most intriguing game of the season to me.
That's the one you want to go to. That's Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze's music to go along with the best receiving core in the league, the number one overall pick, chance to see pick one, Caleb Williams, and pick two, Jaden Daniels. I wonder if they could open with the Bears at home. That would be awesome. Maybe in a national televised spotlight. Why not? have the Bears and the Commanders. That could be Sunday Night Football Week 1.
Oh, yeah.
That could be, you know, maybe it's a Week 2 Thursday night game. They played the Bears on Thursday night a couple years in a row. Give me Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, picks 1 and 2, in primetime in the first couple weeks of the year. I think that'd be awesome.
You might see it, in fact. Again, this is kind of the, not a changing of the guard just yet in terms of, you know, passing the torch of great quarterbacking, but these are two marketable young stars coming into the league with a lot of hype and attention, right? Caleb Williams has been the presumptive number one pick for 2 years. Jaden Daniels just won the Heisman Trophy. Having them clash early in the season before guys have put any kind of bad sample together, I think might be pretty compelling television.
That's the 9 home games for Washington this year. 9 at home, 8 on the road to make up their 17-game slate in 2024. Cowboys, Giants, Eagles in the division, and then Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Chicago. We'll get to the away opponents and go through some of the intrigue there a little bit later on. Next, our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. We're Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
I cannot get over this number. I cannot get over it. It's all I can think about, and it's all I want to talk about. The first 2 weeks, again, this is according to Amazon Prime. I have no idea how to check this. I don't know how to debunk it if it's false. I don't know, but this is reported. This is magazines. It's in Variety. It's elsewhere, okay? The television show Fallout on Amazon Prime, which I love. It's based on a series of video games that are fantastic that I've played and Darius hates, and he told me that he hated me because I liked them, his quote, his words. But it's a great show. Again, I gave it 8.5 out of 10 carbohydrates. Really, really good. It captures the feeling of the game. 65 million people in the first 2 weeks of the show watched it, according to Amazon Prime. I'm going to say that again. Everyone has an incorrect reaction. 65 million people, according to Amazon Prime, watched that show in the first 2 weeks. That number's going up.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I just don't believe that number. I don't know what you want me to do there other than
I don't know.
How many people have Amazon Prime? Let's start with that.
A lot of people. That's a lot of people.
I mean, if you look at their most watched shows, what's second on the list? I refuse to believe that 65 million people have watched that.
I don't tell you. It's what they're reporting. Like they're now again. Are they making it up? I don't know.
I'm not saying that they're actually making it up. I'm saying that they're doing some weird tabulations, where it's like every time that you clicked on the stream to watch it and you did it 4 different times, they're counting you as 4 people, or something quirky is happening. You think 60 million unique different people have watched that show? I mean, a great HBO number for one of these shows is like 10 million. It's unbelievable.
Because it's a far more specific subscription service, whereas people have Amazon Prime and don't even turn on Amazon Prime.
Understood.
Because they get free shipping.
But the key phrase there is don't even turn it on.
No, I know.
Those people aren't watching Fallout.
I totally get it. Amazon Prime is pretty ubiquitous. I think I don't want to say everybody's got it, but a lot of people have it. I can't get over this number. The Super Bowl drew 123.7 million viewers, according to the ratings, the best science we got on the subject. And it's one of the most watched programs in TV history, if not the most watched, I think, this past year. Roughly half of that audience, at some point in just the first 2 weeks of this program, according to Amazon Prime, Variety has it in their publication, 65 million plus users have watched at least part of an episode. Now, that could be 5 seconds, and they go, it's not for me, and turn it off. I don't know. I don't know why I don't know here. I just cannot get over that number.
Okay.
It's so stunning to me.
Here's my next theory. Does it automatically start playing when you go to the Amazon Prime app or something?
No.
to the point where they claim victory on that.
No, that's a Netflix bit. So if you're hovering over a show on Netflix and you haven't watched it yet, it'll start playing part of an episode as like a preview.
Yes.
Amazon Prime doesn't do that. Like if you hover over it, it's like, here's the description. You could play it if you want, but you got to opt in with an
so
okay.
So do you really think 65 million people have watched it?
I suppose. Now, the thing that I really do believe is I don't think 65 million people started, sat down, watched every episode or whatever and got to the end.
But all TV ratings are that way. Nobody's
totally
sitting there and glued the entire time.
But I think at some point, 65 million people clicked okay. I like that number is so mind-boggling to me.
I don't. And that means
who's
nothing.
Lying? Tell me who's lying.
I can't.
Tell me.
I don't think it's a lie.
Say a name.
I think it's a miscalculation.
Hmm.
I think they are counting it wrong.
Hmm.
I think possibly there's a glitch where anyone who's searching Amazon Prime for a TV show is being added into that count or something like that. 65 million guy. Video game TV show that I've heard nothing about other than you talking about it once.
It's pretty ubiquitous. I mean, people were talking about it, certainly.
That's fine. Not in my circles. Nobody's talking about it.
A lot of people. You tune it out.
No, you look
at your phone or you look at your computer.
I'm telling you, you're the only person I've ever heard talk about this show.
The only person.
In my life. 100%. Mm. We're talking about things like how good Shohei is. You're talking about...
I was talking about a show and you thought it was Shohei.
Wrong. 65 million, bro.
65 million people?
You're standing by, you're reporting on that?
Let me find this name. Joe Otterson, you know who that is?
I don't.
That's the author of the Variety story that says 65 million people watched. Is Joe Otterson a liar, Grant?
I think he's probably posting what was suggested and reported by Amazon Prime. I don't think he's claiming that he did the ratings tabulations. It is time for my double play. Who wants some old guy radio? Get your old guy radio here. Who wants your old guy radio? My name is Grant Paulson, and I hate teenagers. Okay?
Oh, yeah!
Here we are. Last night, I'm at a movie.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I get home. My wife and kids, we're doing bedtime. It's a complete disaster. Kids are crying, screaming, whatever. My wife says, I'm going to bed early. It's been a day. I say, okay, what am I going to do with my night? Am I going to sit here and stare at the TV and the Nats aren't playing? Nah, not going to do that. It's a rare night. I'm going to go to the movie theater. I don't know what I'm going to see, but I'm going to eat some popcorn and watch a movie. So I go to the movie theater. I see a film called Challengers, okay? It's Zendaya, who's gorgeous.
She's playing some tennis in this one.
She's a tennis coach, tennis player. There's these two tennis players that both have a crush on her. It's a sticky wicket. There's a lot going on here.
Hmm.
There's a lot to unpack on this movie, I'll just say. All right, for the record.
And by the way, don't worry about spoiling it for me. You can tell me anything you want about it.
Me too, I guess, after the film. But the point of the dude's story is I go see a movie.
Sure.
I'm in the movie theater last night. It's a pretty empty theater overall. I would say there's a total of maybe 20 to 25 people in this massive theater.
Okay. Seating like 150, 200, something like that?
Ish,
yes, plenty of room. Gotcha.
Good size theater.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, about an hour and 10 minutes into the movie, I'm going to guess, I'm sitting, stadium seating, and some kid, it's dark, can't really see much, just looks like a scrawny little high school kid, comes up next to me, like right on my knee, creeping me out, like to the point where I turn, like, what the hell, man? It's dark in here. Like, what are you doing? And he's like motioning that he wants to like go past me to sit inside. I'm like two seats from the end of the row. And I'm like, all right. So like you're at a baseball game, you do like the turn in,
so he can walk
past you. He like drops this like a toy ball you'd win in a claw machine, essentially. Like I'd win for my kids, like right at my feet, and it's just sitting there. And I'm just like, this is so weird. Like, why did he put that down right next to me? Is this thing going to explode at any second? Like, I am freaking out. So I'm just like kind of tap it with my feet a couple times, realize that he just set it down right next to me for no reason, no idea what it is. I'm just weirded out, so I decide I'm going to kick it down the steps away from me to the end of the theater, and so I just kick it 20 feet away from me, and I'm like, this guy sucks. So then he goes like four seats in and sits down right behind. There's like a row of people in front of us. It's been a pretty normal movie so far.
Sure.
He gets on his phone, he's light going, you know, starts typing, whatever, and like 2 or 3 minutes go by, and he's just sitting there typing away on his phone. He gets up, he walks past me, and he goes back up behind me where he came from several rows up. And now I'm a little weirded out. I look down the way. There's another guy about my age who's just a portly bearded fellow with his family asleep probably, who has a night out with some popcorn. And we kind of make eye contact like, what the hell was that? And this guy was like, you saw that, right? And I'm like, yeah, I saw that. What'd you think? And I basically do the like, dude, it's a high school kid. Like, what do you want me to say?
It's a terrible bit by a high school kid.
He's just being a moron. 5 minutes later, two guys come running into the movie theater, screaming, pull out squirt guns. Now, it's a dark theater. I just see a person pull out a squirt gun.
Come on.
I swear to God.
Come on.
And I just stand up like, I don't know what I was going to do. I certainly don't think I was going to play hero and go tackle anyone. I was probably going to just run the other direction. But I see that, it's a squirt gun. They're like, start spraying and yelling at whatever high school girl that they were like marking by sitting behind her, whatever was going on, texting, where are you at? I don't know what the bit was. But they come in and they start spraying a squirt gun at her. 5-10 seconds and run out of the theater. No one does anything, including me, so I'm guilty. I don't stand up. I don't say anything to them. No one else does. All the grown-ups, the old people, they're just watching a movie like nothing happened. All of us. About 2 minutes later, same thing happens again. Run in. This guy this time has like a cell phone light on his phone, and he's like shining it with the squirt gun underneath of it, and he squirts the same person.
You're kidding me.
Dead serious. Leaves the theater. Again, I'm looking around like, who's going to do anything? Because I'm not. I'm just sitting here. Nobody does anything. Now, luckily, that was it. It was two times within a two-minute span. I don't know if it was related to the guy moving and sitting. I have to imagine that it was. And that was kind of the end of it.
He was, like, marking the target for the...
But, like, I don't know if you idiots aren't up with, like, movie theater history recently.
Yeah.
I need you not pulling squirt guns out on people running and screaming in the middle of a movie. Like, it was one of those things where... Twofold. One, you just don't know how dumb someone is or how crazy they are, but you'd love to just beat someone's ass real quick.
Yep.
You know, like
just real quick. Super quick.
Just like, dude, you're such an idiot, man. Like, why? Why do you have to
be go upside your head a couple times to let you know?
But just teenagers, bro. Like, I did dumb stuff. I promise we all did it. Like, me and my buddy would try to, like, go, you know, just. I don't want to, just stupid things
right.
Like everyone did.
Of course.
We called ourselves the Mischief Kings, and we'd go to Fredericksburg and just do something wacky and try to get attention dollars, film it or whatever. Squirt guns.
This is also, but
dark room.
Yeah,
movie theater.
Right. Before.
Nah, man. Nah, dog. Not that.
There have been enough milestone horrible events, not to be too glib about it, where like.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, the stupid shenanigans that we were doing as children or as teenagers or whatever. There's a backdrop now.
Totally.
Right? Like, where it's beyond not okay.
I knew as a kid you can't yell fire in a clouded. Clouded.
In a clouded. Sure. When the theater's rooms, cloudy.
It was really cloudy. Yeah. You know, the cloudy rooms. I know what you can't do. We need to add pulling out a squirt gun and screaming at the top of your lungs, fake attacking someone with a squirt gun in the middle of a movie to that list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I am reminded, I was joning on everyone and telling them how dumb they are for not liking the movie theater. Going out in public, you are subjecting yourselves to the whims of all of these awful people now, especially young people.
Yeah.
You know, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Why does anyone leave their home? Maybe you guys are right.
Mm.
Maybe Danny's on to something.
Mm-hmm.
The Beltway Blitz is next on G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.